Hello. Thank you for joining us today for the Harvest Time Church weekly podcast. As you listen today, we pray that you are richly blessed and that the message would guide you deeper into your walk with Jesus and help you to advance his kingdom here on earth. Have a blessed day.
We're starting a new series, four-week series this morning. It is called Missions is Life, okay? I'm really excited about this content as I begin to pray about it and look at it and begin to chew on it. It's really, really fun when God gives you revelation on his heart. And some of these things, you know, it's not my content. It really was in the heart of God, and I'm just trying to communicate it the best I can. But have we ever thought about that concept, missions is life, that missions is what we do, missions is who we are? Now, I think a lot of times we're going to say, well, I'm not a missionary, therefore I don't have a mission. Right, that's for the missionary to do, and we're a church that supports missions. 10% of all of our income, we send it local, global missions, outreach. We do a lot of things with those church finances. So, we are a mission-minded church. We support missions, but there is also a mission that we each individually have. And I hope that as we go through this series, you would make it your personal responsibility to take part in the mission and the commission of what God has called us to. So. Missions is life. We need to get that in our bones, get that in our heart. So we're going to spend a few weeks looking at this mandate of this mission that God has given us, but he's given it to all Christians, okay? I'm going to say this at the beginning, I'm going to say this in the middle, and I'm going to say this at the end. A lot of times we think that the commission of reaching the world and the lost is the church's responsibility, but here's the premise of this whole thing. The commission was given to the Christians, not the church. Okay, so if you guys are waiting for Pastor Noe and Becky to save the world, guess what? We're doing that as Christians. And do we help collaborate as a church to share the gospel in a way that connects people with God? Absolutely. But the mandate is not on the church. It's on the Christian. Now, how many of you know the church should be full of Christians? Therefore, it works hand in hand, right? So that's why the mission happens from the church, because that's where the most Christians should be hanging out. But I don't want you to excuse yourself from the party and be like, well, I'm not called to that, or that's not what God has put in my heart. That is very much of what God has instructed us specifically to do. It wasn't a suggestion. It was a command. It was a commission. And I hope as we dig through some of this content, we walk away knowing sharing the gospel, loving others, witnessing on behalf of Christ is our responsibility. It's your responsibility. Let me say it that way. I'll point at you. I'm going to point some fingers just for a minute. It's your responsibility. Don't wait for us to do it. Now, it is our responsibility to help you figure out how to do that better. That's where I would say the training, the equipping, how do we share the gospel? How do we love people? How do we communicate, you know, as good witnesses of Christ? But by definition, let's look at the definition of mission. A mission is, by definition, an important assignment carried out for religious purposes, typically involving travel. We know that. You know, I'm going on a mission trip, going to, you know, to all these nations of the world. Another definition says it this way, and I like this one a little bit better. It says the vocation or calling of a religious organization, especially a Christian one, to go into the world and spread its faith. Man, how you know that was a Christian definition there, right? It's really good. I always love when I look up a definition, and that definition supports the mission and calling of what is in God's heart also. But this is the mission that Jesus left us with, Matthew 28, 18 through 20. So this is from the Message translation. So when it reads a little bit different than you're used to, this is from the Message translation. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it really throws me off, and it's like, man, what is this thing saying? But this really gives us some really good a way of understanding a little bit better. It says, God authorized and commanded me to commission you. This was Jesus communicating this. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I will be with you. I will be with you as you do this day after day after day, right up to the very end of the age. So this is the other translation is go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But it kind of gives you a different take when we realize that this is something God was sending us out to do through the commission of Jesus. But this mission, it is both local and global. Okay, so we're going to look today at the local mission that we want to look locally, because I believe that when we focus on the local mission, we will accomplish the global mission. I hear a lot of times people are like, oh, I'm going to go on a mission trip and now I'm going to start sharing the gospel. It's like, what are we doing in the meantime? Like, you think you're just going to figure it out on the mission field? Like, if you have no, you know, and I've had the grace of God help me in that when I was young and dumb and just did that. Like, I just thought about sharing the gospel when I'd go on a mission trip, and we pray over mission trips, and when we go, we're like, Lord, just use me. But why is that not our heart and our prayer right now, every single day? So I believe that if we focus on the local mission, we will accomplish the global mission. Not saying one is more important than the other, but guess what? They all involve people, so guess what? They are all important to God. Okay? So don't neglect the local mission and just focus globally. We reach the global mission by focusing on the local mission. So most people, most of our lives, we spend our lives located locally. So what does that mean? That means that our greatest mission field, the greatest opportunity to reach people for Jesus, is right where we're at. Right? We're our family. We're going on a trip to Brazil. We're super excited about it, praying about it. And, you know, I'm hoping my kids are praying about it because it's going to be a tough trip on them. Like, they think they're going to be able to get macaroni, cheese, and McDonald's on demand, but you can't get that in Brazil. They're going to come back being really, really thankful for all the good, normal food. But I hope that, you know, they're praying and, you know, that we can be ready spiritually, because this mission we're talking about, it's not just natural, it's spiritual, okay? So when we go on these trips, we do these things, like, we don't want to just do it when we're going on a mission trip. We want to live a life of mission. We want to live a life, guess what, on mission. We're always paying attention to who can we reach, what can we do. So good clarifying question that I have for you this morning. Do you daily intentionally focus on telling others about Jesus and what he has done in your life and the difference that he can also make in their lives? Okay? Are we thinking about this on a regular basis? Now, I know we're busy. We got to go to the grocery store. We have all these things. And, you know, I always like slowing down and talking to people in the store, restaurant, different things like that. As I begin to pray, like, man, that is a mission field. Think about, you know, we have to be, in order to engage people, we got to be around people. You know, so me being a pastor, like, I'm a little bit at a disadvantage because, you know, I'm around Christians most of the time, right? It's few and far between that, like, in my job, in my week, I'm around a whole bunch of heathens, I think, right? Okay, you know, that I'm around people that love God. So for me to get in a field where I can reach the lost or I can encourage people, I have to get out of my house. I have to get out of my comfort zone. I got to intentionally go look for people. Now, I think that that's part of God's heart for us to invest and impact the world. But, you know, are we daily looking for the opportunity? Are we slowing down? Are we being kind? Are we being considerate? And when God puts somebody in our path, what do we do with that opportunity? Because if we take this commission serious and we understand that we are always on mission, that mission is always complementing everything we're doing. It doesn't matter if I go to a ball game. I'm at a ball game, but there could be people to my left and my right that need an encouraging word, that need to know what Jesus has done in my life. Maybe they got a distaste towards the things of God, but they don't know him like I know him. And if I tell them what he's done for me, perhaps they'd give him a try. Right? We can't have the only people describing what God has done in their life. We can't have the only people communicating on behalf of God, the ones that don't have the right relationship with God, right? Have you ever heard people talk about God and how he's a bad God, he's not good, why would God do this? And they're misrepresenting who God is. Well, guess what? If they're the only ones talking, that's the only perspective that the world's getting, and it's not reinforcing necessarily what he's done in my life and who he really is, but it's giving a fake testimony or a misrepresentation of who he is, okay? So I hear that a lot. It's kind of like, man, like, that's where'd you get that idea from, or where'd that come from? Well, so-and-so told me, so God can't be da-da-da-da-da or whatever, right? Now, I know when we talk about reaching out to others, it can seem intimidating, but understand this. Jesus didn't leave us alone in this mission. He didn't say, hey, good luck, you got what it takes, and just send us out, you know, like throwing a baby in the deep end of the pool, and you're like, bloop, 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 bottom of the pool. Right, he gave us a help to be able to accomplish this mission. He called us to be co-laborers with the Holy Spirit in reaching the world around us. So I want to make a quick point and then get to kind of the meat of this message. But today is Pentecost Sunday. So I maybe we didn't really communicate that real well, but, you know, I was really excited about some of the song selection. Did you know it was Pentecost Sunday? Oh, she did? Okay. I was like, she wove some of those songs in there. But Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate when the Holy Spirit of promise was given to the disciples. It was that day of Pentecost. They were all gathered together. And it says the Spirit came and rested on them. They began to speak with other tongues. And it ignited a fire inside the believer to accomplish the mission and purpose for which God had called them. He was the one that Jesus said, hey, wait, I'm going to send somebody to help you. Don't go on the mission until you've been empowered with what I'm going to give you to accomplish that mission. Do you understand that God gives us everything we need to be able to reach the world? Now, if you try it on your own, you're going to be all bummed out. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to do what He has enabled us to do and we follow the Holy Spirit, He will lead us into some really great encounters. Perhaps it will change people's lives. So when Pentecost came, this was the day of promise, the day of power being released. Let's look at a few scriptures. John 7, 37 through 39, it says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. So this word was spoken before the outpouring, before Pentecost. But it says, up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Jesus had not yet returned to his Father, sat at his right hand, and sent us the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:5, it says, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So I know, how many of you have been water baptized in here? Hope most of you. If not, what are you waiting for as a Christian? Okay, but how many of you know it, the water was wet, you know it was cold or warm or whatever, and you walked away wet and changed, right? Literally had to change your clothes when you're done because you're dripping wet. It was something very substantial. It was monumental. You're going to leave changed. So it uses that illustration. Just as you were baptized with water, in a few days, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's going to be very evident. It's going to be all over you, and you're going to go in one way, and you're going to come out another. That's what it's talking about, the power of God being released. The Holy Spirit was within Jesus without measure. That's what catapulted his ministry and made him different. Like in the Old Testament, there was moments where the Holy Spirit would come and he would rest on individuals, but then Jesus came and he was given the Holy Spirit without measure, and then he said, okay, guys, hold on. Don't go anywhere. I know I'm going to call you to a great commission to reach the world, but before you do that, wait, camp out, stay together. I'm going to go to the Father. When I get to the Father, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. So that's why these verses are like, hey, wait. Yeah, he hasn't been poured out yet, because Jesus was communicating to the disciples before he went to heaven. Okay? So then in Acts 1:8 it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." And I want you to pay attention. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the world." What does it say that you will become? A witness. I want us to pay attention to that word, because I think the heartbeat of what God wants us to do and how God wants us to impact the world is to be a witness. And I'm going to clarify what that means in just a moment. So the disciples, they waited, but today the wait is over. We don't have to wait. Jesus is at the right hand of God. The Holy Spirit is freed up and given to every single believer who asks and believes and receives. Okay, it's available to all of us. So that's super exciting that Pentecost is now practiced. It's not something we're waiting for. It's not like, well, one day. No, the day has already arrived and actually has been here a long time. If you've never heard about this power that's available to you, I'm sorry. But now you know that the Holy Spirit is available to all those who ask. Just like salvation, we ask for the gift of salvation. We also ask for the Holy Spirit, and He freely gives to those who ask. So if you've been going through life as a Christian for a while and you've maybe felt like you haven't had this powerful transformation in your life, maybe you need a little bit of the Holy Spirit to be released in your life today, okay? I'm just going to leave that with you. So this gift of salvation and the empowerment of the Spirit is available today. And it's available today so that we can accomplish this global mission that we've gotten from God, okay? So this power and this ability to witness effectively comes from the Holy Spirit flowing out of us into the lives of others. Okay, so like if we think about it, like within ourselves, we have very little to give people. Like we have very little that we can impress people with. Like most of the really good things are either God gifts or they're things that God has worked out. Like I hope that today we're better people than we've ever been. So I know a lot of us were still a work in progress, but But we want to tell people, hey, don't be like me, but be like God. Be like these good things, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, gifts of the Spirit, all of these things, love, joy, peace, patience, like, you know, these things coming out of me are made possible because the Spirit of God is alive and active in me. Now, we live in the flesh too, right? So it's tough because we're stuck in this challenge where sometimes we're like full of the Spirit, but sometimes there's days like, Lord Jesus, like I'm full of the flesh, right? You know, so it's sometimes challenging. And I would just encourage you, if you have bad fleshy days and people see it, just apologize, right? You know, because I think sometimes it can really not represent God well or the work of the Spirit well. But let the Holy Spirit keep doing what He's doing. Don't keep making excuses that you live in the flesh and that's why you act like that. Because the Spirit of God is actually inside of you to change all that. We shouldn't keep acting out the flesh, but we should actually be moving into acting out the things of the Spirit, okay? Which is one of the greatest testimonies of what the Spirit of God does in the life of the believer, okay? In John 14:26, it says, "But when the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, comes, he will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said." Thank God for that, you know, that he will remind you of everything that Jesus has spoken. He will bring the Word of God back up to you when you need it, okay? So what is the gospel message? You know, I love this definition. I think it's something we always need to have kind of in the back of our mind. But the gospel is this: the good news that God became man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life that I should have lived, and he died the death that I should have died in our place. Okay? 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving that he was the Son of God and offering the gift of salvation and forgiveness of sin to anyone who repents and believes in him. That is the gospel. It's that simple, right? You know, I think it's, you know, people really, really get intimidated with sharing the gospel, but it's really, really simple. You know, but I think that if we will just lead people through our witness first rather than trying to explain everything, this is where God really kind of convicted me this week. Like, you know, as a systematic pastor or preacher, that I like points, I like A, B, C, D, I want to get all the way to Z, right? You know, so when we're talking about salvation, it's like, oh, you got to believe in Jesus. Oh, you got to the cross and the blood and justification and sanctification. And it's like, holy smoke, I don't even know the last 5 words you said. What am I supposed to do? Like, but if we will just share our witness in what Jesus has done in our life, where people become interested in God, guess what? All of these details are going to work themselves out. Right, you know, but I always think, oh, hold on, you can't even get saved yet. I got to make sure we check these 5 boxes. And I started thinking about it. When the disciples were called to follow Jesus, how much did they know about Jesus? Very little. They knew he was a prophet. They knew he had been around, and there was evidence that this could possibly be the Messiah. But they were called to follow before they maybe had faith, or follow before they had it all figured out. But if you will begin to follow and you will come near to God, all of the other things, all of these questions through what the gospel is will answer themselves. But we don't want to go through the storm and be like, hey, you need the gospel and like the blood, the cross. Are you even saved? Like, I mean, like, just be a witness. Because, you know, what I'm learning, the gospel, it's more than just not going to hell. You know, I think that that's always the thing. Hey, do you want to go to hell? Well, no, we don't want to go. Nobody wants to go to hell. So how do I avoid hell? Like, but now let me tell you what I have learned, just not going to hell is not enough in our lives, because there is struggle, there is hardship, there are strongholds, there are things that we deal with, there is loss, there is hurt, there is brokenness. Like, I need more than just to avoid hell. I need power in my life right now to live a life worth sacrificing everything for. Because when the disciples followed, they were leaving some things behind in a hope of finding new life. Well, our witness, our testimony, what we tell people should be evidence of that changed life. If you don't see the work that God has done in your life, you need to ask Him to illuminate that so that you can tell others accurately what He has done. Not just, well, He died on the cross and He gave forgiveness of sin. Those are all important things, so hear me in this. But what has He actually done in your life that matters now? That's what people want to know. Like, hey, man, I was an alcoholic. And, man, I didn't know what to do. I was losing work. I was losing my family. I was losing, you know, all the devil was robbing from me. I didn't know what to do. So I just gave my life to the Lord, and those things began to change. I was addicted to this and this and this. Or, you know, I was a bad, wicked, evil person. I cussed like a sailor. And whatever it is. And God began to change that. Not because of this self-control, but because He changed my heart. I realized I began to love the things that God loves, and I began to hate the things that He hates. And out of that relationship with Him, it drove me to please my Father rather than just pleasing myself, and it changed my whole outlook. But He didn't just ask me to do something that I couldn't do. He actually allowed me and empowered me to do those things that I couldn't do by myself. Right? This is better than going to AA, even though those things are important, right? You know, like getting help, getting the professional help. But there is something spiritual that is available to the believer that can transform your life. But we are the advocates. We are the witness. We are the voices of God to people. But He invites us, first and foremost, to find and receive Him, but then to give away what we have found. Let me say it this way. You know, it's kind of like knowing you've been offered an ice cold drink, but it's in the fridge, right? You ever had somebody tell you, hey, yeah, I got drinks, but they're in the fridge? Like, I think in Christianity, we want you to go get the drink, pop the top, bring it to you. Like, we want the full service deal. Well, like, I understand that would be nice, but that's not how it works. I've told you there's a fridge available. There's an ice cold drink in there, but for you to receive that, you got to go get it. You got to want it. It's already prepared in advance, and guess what? It is absolutely free. So the gift of salvation, coming into this relationship with you, it's the same way. Like, you got to know it's there. It's available. It's great. It's going to be satisfying, but you got to, like, get up. You got to go get, okay. Oh, man, I got to go get this free soda, said nobody, right? Like, we're going to bend over back. It's like it's going to be but it's going to require something of you is the takeaway from that illustration, that it's going to require something of you, but it's trusting in this free gift that God purchased through the blood of Jesus, and this is the gift we receive. So this gift of salvation and the Holy Spirit, they're available to you today, and I believe that a relationship with the Lord and the power of the Holy Spirit working in your life will allow you to accomplish the mission for which God has called us to. If you don't ask for both, it will be next to near impossible to be as effective as God needs us to be. Because guess what? We cannot do it by ourselves. After they were filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter stood up and he gave powerful words that convicted the hearts of man. But it wasn't his own words. It was words inspired by the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So, that's available to you. So, this morning we're going to look at four local mission objectives that you have to have in your life. Okay? Number one, accept personal responsibility to help others know God. Understand, I said, you have to accept that personal responsibility, right? Don't say, well, Pastor, there's a reason you're paid. That's your job. It's not my job. It is our job. It is the Christian's job. So accepting this responsibility to reach the world through the gospel, it's not just the church's responsibility, but it is the Christian's responsibility. We have to change the way we think about this. It's my problem. It's my mission. It's what God has called me to. Think about when He said, you know, go into all the world, preach the gospel, be a witness in Jerusalem, Judea, all to the ends of the earth. Imagine Him telling you that directly, giving you that same commission, giving you that same mission. So to do it means that we're going to accomplish it. But I think what a lot of us do, we hear that and we're like, nah, it's not for me. What do you mean it's not for you? It's what the last thing that Jesus asked us to do before He left. Okay? So every single Christian in the room today has a personal responsibility to share their faith. So why do we share? We share because we should be caring about people. We should be caring about the things that God cares about. Now, I know there's some people who are like, man, I don't want to share no love of Jesus with them. They don't deserve it. You know, like, we become judge and jury, not witness, okay? We just want to share because God cares, right? We want to share because God loves them. So reject relying just on the church and its systems and its events to reach people. Now, we have some great outreaches. We got KidCon coming up this summer, and we got some things that we're going to be doing that are outreach-driven. But those things help, but that's not the only way to reach people. We can't rely on those things. Every single day, every single moment, there's people around us that we can be a witness to, okay? So we have to make sure that we understand that the Christian ministry is personal and it's organic. What does that mean? We reach a person with a person. Right? It doesn't, you know, not saying you can't come into a relationship with the Lord in this proximity, but I tell you what, you sit across the table with a cup of coffee. We don't like coffee drinkers, sweet tea, cherry Coke, whatever, you know, water, whatever you drink, I don't know. Sit across from somebody and it is person to person, it is organic, but that is one of the best ways to reach. It's close proximity. It's not at a distance. Jesus was the most effective when people would come near to him. They would come close, and that he would give them hope. And it's the same way with us, that we'd be in close proximity. But it's not the church's job. It's not God's job. This is your job, to be a witness. 2 Corinthians, it talks about that he has given each of us the ministry of reconciliation. And I was like, man, that's a hard word, reconciliation. What does that mean, Lord? But in an easy way, it helps others get to God through the work of Jesus. He's given us that gift. He's given us that ability to help people get into a right relationship with God through the testimony of what Jesus has done. And what Jesus has done should be evident all through our lives. Right? If you haven't seen what God has done in your life, ask God to illuminate your eyes. You know, I hope that if I ask, hey, how's the Lord been good to you? I hope you're just like, well, you know, saved by grace, Pastor. I don't have to go to hell anymore. And like, that's it. Man, we got to look a little bit deeper. Like, you know, and sometimes we got to go back thinking about who we were and who we are. And that really paints a really good picture. Because if I remember, like, man, like, there's some bad things in my heart, man. There's some bad things in my life. And like, hopefully those things just fall off of us and we leave them behind, and we kind of try to forget those things because that is part of the old nature. But remembering who we were and remembering who we are, or knowing who we are now, allows us to witness more powerfully. You know, I don't like to always just tell everybody all my dirt. Anybody like him, like, you know, anybody just out of the gate tells you too much dirt, you might want to run, right? It's like, too open. But every now and then, because I know that witness or what Jesus has done in my life is going to help somebody, I'll let people in a little bit deeper, be a little more transparent. You know, it's hard preaching because, like, you know, I really get very close to very vulnerable, close places. But, you know, there's a few things where I will kind of, not mean, you know, and we live streaming, right? You want to have a conversation with me? I'll tell you a whole bunch of stuff, but not from a platform. You know, if you really, really want to know. But I'm convinced that the things that we let people know are things that they need to know to help them to see how good has God has really been in my life. I think a lot of times they look at us and they think we had it easy. Oh, well, you're just a pastor. You're blessed. I was like, man, I wasn't always a pastor, and I wasn't always as blessed as I am now. I remember working minimum wage. You know, we had our first baby, and it's like, man, Lord, what do I do? And like, less money than I've ever made in my life. Like, I mean, there's some struggle. Like, just because you look at it today and say, well, you don't understand. How do you know I don't understand? I may understand a whole lot more than you think. But people look at us today. But we want people to look at our lives today and want Jesus because of what our lives represent. Man, how'd you get to where you're at? It's not just education. It's not just born into a great family. Like, there are things that God has done along the way that has blessed us. And that's the thing that we want to share in our witness, okay? You know, we want to reach out in love and kindness. So recognize daily moments in our schedule. Recognize moments as we engage people around us. The people we engage with daily are the ones that God may want us to reach out to. So reach out with love and kindness. Okay, you don't ever know who's listening. You don't ever know who's watching, right? We always want to be good representations of God. If we lose our crap and we mess up, just apologize. Right? It's going to happen. Right? You'll say, hey, man, sorry, having a bad day. People are going to understand. Right? Be nice. Don't be rude. Reflect the fruit of the Spirit. Understand this. No one is attracted to rotting fruit. Okay? It's going to be impossible. Got a quote from Pastor Chris Hodges. Man, it's super powerful. He says, I want my life to be so attractive that people who know me but don't know God will want to know God because they know me. That they just see me and they're like, man, they don't know God, but they know me and they know I know God, so that they want to know a little bit more about God because of that fruit that comes out. So number one, we got to accept that personal responsibility to help others know God. Number two, develop personal relationships. We're relational people, right? We're all sitting by somebody. Is anybody sitting by themselves? Like way straight out? No. Everybody's close to somebody, right? So build personal relationships. Build some good relationships. You ain't got to love like a ton of people. Like, I know we got introverts in the room. It's like, hey, greet somebody. You're like, dear God, I got to go to the restroom. Like, you know, I'm out. Or you just lean over and hug your spouse because you don't want to meet nobody else, right? But it's worth getting out of that comfort zone because God needs us to reach people. Right? He knows he built you an introvert, but guess what? He put the Holy Ghost inside of you too to break through those tendency of an introvert to allow you to engage people in a way that changes their life. Right? We can't say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. No, I understand. I understand in our weakness, he is strong, and the Spirit of God can do anything and everything through anybody. Amen. If you cooperate and you don't say, well, Lord, I don't know, you do. Because the commission was given to you. And he wouldn't ask us to be witnesses if we couldn't be witnesses. You got me? But that's simple. Like, you know, any of us can tell our story. Actually, you know what? We like telling our story. You know, telling our story is easier than telling the gospel. So just start with your story. It will draw people to ask, man, tell me a little bit more about that. But we do this through relationship, good relationships. Okay? 1 Corinthians 9:22. So something Paul did, he said, to the weak I become weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that by all means possible I might save some. Be strategic. Right? Get around people. You know, like people are having a hard time, ask good intriguing questions. Like I always like, you know, people are having a hard time. It's like, man, I'm just so frustrated. Hey, man, tell me a little bit more about that. Man, they're going to tell you a lot about that. And then find a way to kind of redirect that conversation and work in, you know, hey, well, I'm sorry you're going through that. Man, I've went through hard times too, but let me tell you how I got through these hard times. Bingo. And now I'm in it. Now I redirected conversation. I was listening to this other way of, you know, how do we cross dissect just a conversation and make it a meaningful conversation? Heard another example said, you know, when people lose loved ones, man, it's tough. It's tough for the Christian. It's tough for the unbeliever. But let me tell you what, it's always worse for the unbeliever. Because, you know, have you ever seen people like ugly cry? It's rough, right? But somebody who's crying and they don't have hope, they cry differently. So when we see somebody hurting like that, I mean, I think a good way to say it is, man, like, hey, when I lose someone, man, I cry. Man, but I don't cry like that. Let me tell you how I respond and how I get through hard things like that. Because we have hope, right? You know, so then we segue that conversation into a way that, you know, we're getting in somebody's world. We're not saying, hey, suck it up, buttercup. Don't worry about that. Don't deal with that. God is good. Because in that moment, they may not see God as good. But you got to bring God's goodness into that situation, and you got to illuminate the darkness and what they can't see. Just because you can see it doesn't mean that they can see it yet. But in these relationships, when we get close to people, it allows us to impact them in a radical way. Listen to a podcast this week. It says, I've never led an enemy into a relationship with God, but I have a friend. Very rarely will you lead an enemy into a relationship with God. But if you're kind and you have good relationships and you have friends, now your friends may tell you they ain't listening, but they're listening. Because they know you care, you know, it's a little bit different. But somebody who's like your arch enemy is not going to, you know, if that happens, let me know. That'll be a great story, okay? But realizing this, it really got my attention that we need to build relationships, good relationships. We share Jesus successfully with people around us through personal relational evangelism. Right? Not saying you can't walk around the store and just meet somebody, but I think if you got good interaction skills or you're really relational or you're really, you know, you're kind or you're considerate, you know, I mean, I think there's ways to interject that conversation quickly, you know. I don't know. I think there's a lot of ways to do that. Just ask Holy Spirit for wisdom. But develop close relationships with people and then give them Jesus. So have good, healthy conversations with other people. Understand this. Don't debate, but encourage people. Right, man, it's so frustrating. I've debated with people, get so frustrated. I was like, man, like, I'm done with this. Like, you're not listening anyway. Get out of my face, right? So it feels like somebody's just wanting to debate. But, you know, we don't want to debate with people. We want to encourage people. You know, when they're saying about like, hey, man, well, God is this, and he's never been good, and I ain't seen God, and say, hey, I'm sorry. That's ACN. Let me just tell you what I've seen in my own life. Because I take it back to my witness, my perspective, my point of view of, you know, and then now they can say, well, whatever, and then they walk away. But like, I'll tell you what, there's something evidential about God's goodness in my life when you see it. Because I know sometimes when we're reading the Bible, it's hard to wrap our mind around the scriptures, right? It's like, well, that's in the Bible. That was a long time ago. But, you know, there is power about what God has done in and through your life in this moment. And let me tell you about this thing I was praying about. And let me tell you what God did. Right? All kinds of testimonies, all kinds of things that we can see. But the Bible says, be salt and light to the world around us in Matthew 5, 13 through 16. It says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. So here's what we always want to focus on when we're building relationships, when we're trying to reach our have this local mission. So we want to focus on making it better or making it brighter. Think about, what does salt do? Salt, man, is awesome. My daughter's like, don't put salt and pepper on nothing, Dad. I was like, get out of the kitchen. You don't know, it makes it better, right? You know, just a little bit of salt sometimes is what's missing. But when we put salt on something, it makes it better. When we talk about our witness, that's what we want to do. We want to make it better, right? And then if we can't make it better, guess what we do? We make it brighter because we're the light of the world. We come into a situation of darkness, of defeat, and we turn on the light. We illuminate. We help somebody stand up. We encourage them. We change the atmosphere around us. That's what we're called to do. Like, we can step into an environment that ain't that salty and add a little bit of salt. Right? We can step into a place of darkness and we don't say, oh, it's dark, I'm out of here. No, you need to get involved in those things because you allow the light to come into that situation and it changes everything. That's the commission. That's what we've been called to do. We've been called to be salt and light. I would say if you're not salt and light, you're not His. It's going to tell you that. It comes as part of the deal. Right, your life wasn't that flavorful before. Now it's a little bit of flavor. I guarantee you it was full of darkness. And I hope that there's light in your life and it is continually exposing these dark areas even in your life. But that light doesn't just change your life. It changes the lives of people around you. Okay? In John 9, 5, it says, I am the light of the world. This is Jesus, right? You know, so if He's the light and that light's in us, that light's going to shine out of us. Okay? He illuminates these dark places so that everybody can walk in freedom, and we will not be tricked by the enemy. You know, when we're blind and we can't see, it's hard to fight back. I was thinking about this morning about doing an illustration, but I didn't. I was going to get a blindfold. I was going to get Robert or one of my elders that I know would be all right with it, but I was going to blindfold him, and I was going to get one of the tubes of the wrapping paper. When we're blind to the things of God, and I was just gonna sneak around. I was gonna be real quiet, still like I was gonna pop them with that thing, and just keep nailing them. That's what happens when we're in darkness and we can't see what's going on. It's real frustrating. And then I was gonna do something else. You'll get it through the story. Then I was gonna take the blindfold off and I was gonna give them wrapping paper tube. So now two things happen when illumination comes. I can see what's happening, but now I can also fight back. I'll tell you what, I can try to sneak up, but guess what? I was walking around bopping him on the head. Now he's going to be bopping me on the head. Because that's what happens when there is illumination in a place of darkness. It changes everything to where I can see what I used to not be able to see. But that changes people's lives. Right? Because maybe we think we're powerless, but we're really, really powerful when that illumination comes. When God gets involved. Okay? So, develop... those close relationships. Number three, share your story. Share your personal story. It says, be a witness. That 1 Peter 3, 15 through 16 says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you and give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. Like, you know, I know the shirts are real funny. I laugh at them, but it says, the shirt that says, y'all need Jesus. It's kind of funny, but that can come across wrong. Like, you know, if it's just like, oh, because it's a little snarky. It's like, we know you're like, you need Jesus. Like, that's how you're supposed to read it, right? But like, if that's our attitude to people we don't know, that's going to be a turnoff. Now, if it's Christian brothers and sisters, it's funny, right? Right? Be like, Faith, you need Jesus today. Like, it's funny when it's like Christian to Christian, but it can be very offensive if we're communicating that heart to the world. Like, y'all just need Jesus, man. Y'all are a hot mess. Like, and we see it, but you don't. Like, it's real judgmental, but we're called to be a witness, but we're also supposed to give a reason for the hope we have, but it says with gentleness and respect. I don't want to blow my witness in lieu of trying to give them Jesus. I can do it in a way that's very judgmental, that is very cruel, that is very harsh, and you know what? I'm actually being a judge, not a witness. And that's really, really dangerous because, like, you know, he says, to the degree that you judge, you will be judged. Well, guess what? Thank God I'm a grace guy. I always try to release grace because, man, I need grace. Right? So we want to be really, really careful. But a witness does not judge, it does not defend, and it does not prosecute. All the witness does is tells their part of the story from what they understand and what they know and what they have experienced. So we don't tell others how bad they are or what's wrong with them. We simply tell them what God has done inside of you. Man, let me tell you what God did in my life. And this is enticing them to come close. This is enticing them to come near. This is drawing them to the Father rather than away from the Father when we do this correctly. Okay? So tell them your side of the story. Be a witness and tell others what Jesus has done in and through your life. So this is the evidence of how awesome God is. It's revealed in and through your personal story. People should want the lives that we have. You know, but maybe we're just not telling people what God is doing or what he's done. But find ways to tie your story into people's struggles. Man, I'll tell you, I went through that one time. Let me tell you what I did. I thought I was going to die. I didn't know how I was going to make it. I kept praying, and one day I got a phone call, and everything changed. Right? Whatever it is, like we wrap our stories into the struggle. Your story can speak to the struggle by offering hope and a way out to those who hear it. Simply sharing your story of how God has impacted your life. That's what the whole point of sharing your personal story does. Create moments where you have the opportunity to share your story. Ask them questions to start the convo, okay? I know it's super awkward, like, you know, hello, goodbye. Like, you know, is the extent of, like, our interactions. So that, you know, it's real hard, but, you know, like, hey, how you doing? And pause for a minute, like, you know, somebody's in the store looking at, like, Gorilla Glue or whatever. Hey, man, you ever use that? Like, I mean, like, I've used this one. This one's pretty good. Like, I'm in a conversation now, right, you know, and hear me out. Not every conversation is going to be like, man, they're going to find Jesus today. But I want to set up every interaction with people with the opportunity. If God wants to do something, I've already started the conversation and I've started talking to them. They got kids. Hey, you know, man, your daughter has beautiful eyes, good hair. Like, get involved in their world. Parents love when you talk about their kids. That's the easy one, you know. I think just finding ways to do that. Another question that's a really great question to ask. Is, hey, tell me a little bit about your family. Man, they're going to tell you. It's either going to be really, really good or it's going to be really, really bad. But if it gets really, really bad, just don't bail out on them. Oh, man, you got a hard life. Later, bro. Have a good day. Like, it's like, what are you doing? Like, that was an opportunity. Say, man, I'm so sorry, man. Like, man, I've been through some hard times too. But, man, let me tell you where my hope comes from. Man, let me tell you what Pastor Noe said the other day that really got my attention. Pastor Noe, well, where do you go to church? Hey, where do you go to church? Like, you mean like, whatever, like, I mean, just start a conversation, you know, communicate, like, work on that. Ask God to give you a gift of communication. I don't know. So number one, we accept the personal responsibility to help others know God. Number two, develop personal relationships. Number three, share your personal story. And lastly, give a personal invitation, okay? And this is a big, big deal. Like, that's why I said, don't bail out on the conversation when it really, really gets good. And they're like, you're like right there and they're looking for hope and you're just like, like, give them the hope that we have. You want to be real radical, said, hey, man, I'm sorry. I mean, I don't know if this is going to help or not, but can I pray for you? Man, now you just turned something natural and mental and emotional, and you just changed it spiritual. And you'll make that kind of bold move, man. The Holy Ghost is going to show up and is going to begin to change situations. But this is what making it your responsibility looks like. Don't be like, hold on, let me call Pastor Noe. Don't do that. Like, you got to engage this. You got to say, Holy Ghost, tell me what to say. Show me what to do. Hey, you know when the conversation is stacking up to be able to share the love of Jesus with somebody. But we get an opportunity when we know it's coming to either back up and wuss out or jump all in and say, Holy Ghost, help me. But you know when you're like, oh, man, this dude needs Jesus. Now, you're saying that in your head. Don't say it out loud. Got me? But you know, man, God wants to work in this situation. Or you'll know, oh, man, God wants me to share this story of my life with this person. Man, Lord, I don't want to be that transparent. I don't even know this person. But then you know what God tells you? But I do. And I need you to make a difference in their life by being vulnerable and being willing to take a risk and be willing to share the love of Jesus. But at the end, it's like, we got any fishermen in the room? You ever try to catch a fish without setting the hook? Sometimes that fish takes that bait deep enough, you ain't got to do nothing, you just reel it in. But it works best when you feel that nibble to set the hook. There is a response from the individual to get what you're fishing for in the boat, okay? So this is what this personal invitation looks like. So a personal invitation, it can end with inviting them to know Jesus or just inviting them to church. Now, we're going to share the love of Jesus and the gospel with them here at church, but we're not the only ones that can do that. We hope to teach you, to help you, to be successful in being able to do that yourself. But just invite them into your story and invite them to come follow. You ain't got to figure it all out. You ain't got to give them a 5 or 6 point sermon. I believe that if they will come near, they will come close, God will do the rest. Okay? I think it's simpler than we may think. Luke 14:23, it says, "The master told the servant, 'Go out into the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full.'" So without the invitation, we leave people not knowing what to do next. Like, that's one thing, Becky and I, we've been pastoring church, rolling on 6 years, which is crazy. We've been doing it that long already. But, like, we've learned, you know what helps you? Telling you what to do next. We just learned, it's like, man, like, we're just like, well, what do you think you should do next? And y'all are looking at me like, we don't know what to do next. Well, we don't know what you should do next either. And then we got major problems. People need to be told what to do next. And an invitation helps them do that. Hey, like, man, I'd love to introduce you to Jesus. Or, hey, man, I go to a great church. Hope we're building a church you want to invite people to. And it's not like, oh, man, like, I know a church, but it ain't my church, man. I hope that ain't the case, right? That you'd love to invite people to. But without an invitation, it leaves people not knowing what to do next. Help them out by giving them the next step. Don't end your convo without a personal invitation. So it's like catching a fish. You're reeling it in. You're so close, and it's right there on the edge of the boat. And you're like, oh, clip, and you cut the wire. Cut the line. Oh, I'm going to let them go. No. Do you do that? Don't do that. It's the same way when we're that close. The key is to what? Get the fish in the boat. We have to understand every single person is a child of God. Some are lost and some are found. But I believe if we step into this commission and this mission of what God has called us to locally, we're going to find us a lot of them and bring them into the family of God. And I tell you what, there will be nothing more important than those that we have led to Jesus. Man, I'll tell you what, it is addictive, it is exciting, it is a rush all at the same time. And when you do it once, man, you will want to do it more. I had a real, real close friend of mine that when I was young on the mission field, Fuzzy Talosik. Dude used to tell me, he'd get up in the morning. He said, man, let's get up and let's go see who we can win to Jesus today. And man, he was serious. Every single day he lived on mission. This dude was old. Like, he was like, he didn't move real fast, but he was intentional with every single day. He would stop. Where's Fuzzy? He's talking to this guy, and he's like at the gas station. We got to go. We ain't got to go. He's this close. I almost got him in the boat. So will you make it your personal responsibility to live on mission? Will you make it your personal responsibility? Oh, man, not to step on people, not to step over people, but reach out your hand and rescue some people out of hell. It's your, man, you're around people all the time. I hope the Spirit of God, like, man, messes you up to where you are looking with urgency so much more than you ever have. And you'll realize what you have to do is not the most important thing. But perhaps this commission and mission that God has called us to is the most important thing. Well, we've all been commissioned not to only reach the world, but to reach out locally to the people around us. A life lived on mission is focused locally, and it is our personal responsibility. We get to offer this hope of salvation to the world. Can you stand up with me? To accomplish the mission that God has given us, our hearts have to grow for the things of God. We got to begin to love the things of God and begin to kind of have a hatred towards the things of this world. But I want to challenge you through this whole series, if you will. Would you ask God to work in your heart, to give you His heart for the lost? I'm talking beyond the scope of your family. I'm talking about friends, co-workers, arch enemies, I don't care who it is, that He would begin to give you His heart for those people. Can you imagine if God began to move in our workplaces and we would be obedient to His leading? And I think of the disciples when He said, hey, let down your nets. And they said, man, we've been doing this. We know what we're doing, Master. But He says, no, because You asked, we do it. And can you imagine if we begin to share the love of Jesus, we begin to share our story by just the witness of what God has done in our life, where all of a sudden we begin to lift the nets. It's not just one fish, but there are multitudes and multitudes and multitudes who say, brother, come here, I need help, because we've had an abundant catch. In that story, it says the nets begin to break. Other boats had to help. We see all through the Bible, when the witnesses of Jesus began to witness, it says the Lord added daily to those who were being saved. Can you imagine if we all reached one this week? Standing room only. Thank you very much. I believe if each person takes this responsibility, I believe that the churches would be a little bit fuller than they've ever been. Is this new perspective for some of you this morning? Like, have you ever seen it as like, this is your problem, this is your mission? Have we seen it as that, or we hadn't seen it as that? Thumbs up, I see it that way, or I see it that way now, or like kind of, we're kind of in the middle with that? Like, man, like, oh, I didn't know I was supposed to like, because once we know, now there's accountability a little bit there. So we hope to help you learn how to do this really, really well. But man, you got to want it. You got to ask for it. You got to allow the Holy Spirit to work it out in and through you, okay? But ask God to give you this His heart through this series. Can I get you to commit to do that? Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you. Lord, I thank You. And first and foremost, for the relationship we have with You. Father, that somebody was bold enough to reach out and to represent You well in a way that drew our heart to You. And Father, I pray that as we go through this series and as we grow in knowing You more and more, God, that You would give us a heart for Your people, that You would give us Your heart to reach out to those who maybe the world has deemed as unreachable. Father, that we would each make it our personal mission to reach out like we never have. And Holy Spirit, I pray we would co-labor with You. And Father, perhaps we would walk away with a great catch. But You said You're no longer going to be fisher of fish, but You will be fisher of men. So Father, I thank You, God, that as we go through this series, I pray that You'd stir our hearts for what stirs Yours. And Father, that You'd give us the opportunity to be part of just reaching the world, both locally and globally. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you've been encouraged and empowered. If you'd like to know more about our family, follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/HTC Bay City, or find us on the web at harvesttimebaycity.com.